Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all, and I have some fond memories of this church. Way back, probably in the 1980s, we had the privilege to come over and kind of not exactly be interim pastor, but interim preacher in between pastors, and I think I preached for 7 weeks, and I probably preached everything I knew in 7 weeks back in those days as well, and the church gave to me at the end of that a nice a portrait or a painting, a print of a church in the countryside with the subscript that said, "Faith comes by hearing." And it was, I've had it on the wall in various offices now, probably ever since then. So it reminds me of this church. And so we're really grateful to be here. Our home church is Community Baptist Church in Greer Taylor's there with Pastor Dave Whitcomb. Over the many years, we planted a church in Forest City, North Carolina in the early 80s and pastored a church in Asheville, kind of a little rescue attempt in the late 80s, and helped another church get planted in the 90s. And then in the last number of years, a lot of my outside ministry from BJ or now GFA has been just be out in churches preaching and encouraging. I was in Ohio last Sunday at Calvary Bible Church in Lima, Ohio, for the weekend, actually. And then I was at the worship conference, music conference, in Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis earlier this week. And I got home, got refreshed. I was numb from that trip on Thursday and recovered a little bit. So I think I'm halfway at least in gear today to be with you all. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'll be with Pastor Caleb Phelps down in Palm Bay, Florida, for the morning service and the evening, Saturday evening, and the morning service, and then down in the Fort Myers area next Sunday night, preaching in a church there, and then part of this Arch Ministries conference early the next week. So a lot going on, and Ellen encourages me. She travels with me when she can, and we have three grandchildren, and each of our mothers is in Greenville. So her mom's 88 in an independent living setting. My mom's 87 with dementia in another assisted living type setting. And recently our daughter-in-law broke her hand with one-year-old twin daughters. And so Ellen has been Mimi on steroids for the last 4 to 6 weeks, helping there. And so, but all is well. We are very, very blessed. God has been so good to us. And I'll share with you in a few moments why today is an especially wonderful day for me personally. And so what a privilege to be here. We appreciate the Casillases very much. And they're a solid testimony for the Lord for all these years. He is way smarter than I am. So today I'm coming in as just kind of a little, I'm going to preach at a different level than perhaps you're used to hearing. But smart people don't intimidate me because I've been around them so much. I've gotten used to being the dumb guy in the room with a bunch of smart people around. So anyway, so really appreciate it. Good to see you. And David, sitting back here in the red shirt, is... I have a memory of David. We were at a church, and David was kind of the greeter. And he would welcome us, and he would be out front of the church. And he has real good taste in he knows beauty when he sees it. So when he saw my wife, he said, "You pretty," he would say like this. And one day we came in the church, and we were together, and he said, "You pretty." And he looked at my tie, and he said, "Tie, Walmart." And and he was exactly right. It's the only tie in my whole collection, and I don't know why I grabbed it at Walmart. It's not my men's clothing store of choice, but anyway, he nailed it, man. I mean, so maybe he had one from there as well. I don't know, but you know, that's kind of how it goes. So I'm really enjoying the new ministry with Gospel Fellowship Association. It's just people that know me and know the ministry, they go, it's a perfect fit. because I love pastors. I love being out in the churches. I've been doing this type of work for years, teaching men, training men, praying for men related to the ministry, and just being with God's people. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement to me to be with them. And so these are wonderful days. And so I work with GFA's church planning program. I've really been with that for many years as a board member and liaison. A bit with the interim pastor program that we have. We have 8 to 10 retired ministry couples that are helping with the needs in churches that are in transition. My colleague, Marsh Fant, works with that closely as well. And we kind of team together. He does church consulting, strategic planning, assessment, things of that nature. And then I'm also working just with general advising, being an encouragement. We have a situation, I'm not speaking on this morning, but we have a situation developing in our circles and actually in broader conservative circles of a very, very serious coming shortage of pastoral leadership. And there are many reasons for that. I speak on that topic when I'm out. Marsh and I do conferences together some, and then I'll speak on this in churches as well. So that's part of my focus particularly is trying to alert the Christian public of the need. And so just pray for us if you think of it. I have a few prayer cards. I may set them out somewhere, but we just appreciate that. This morning I'd like to speak on the topic of renewal. Renewal. And in the morning service on the topic of redeeming the time. And these are messages that I think the Lord can use this time of the year as we are, you know, not exactly at the very start of the new year, but we're not far down the road from that. So renewal will be our topic this morning. Let me just share my heart a bit about this and a few lead-in verses, and we'll look at some scripture together. Probably Titus 3, if I know when you start speaking, people grab their Bibles. So if you'd like to turn to Titus chapter 3, that's where we'll land here shortly. You know, we all, from time to time, sense a need for God to do something special in our hearts, to refresh us and to renew our walk with Him. Things come into our lives, pressures, problems, personal issues, family matters. Sometimes it's interpersonal strain that we can't seem to work out. Employment issues, heavy workloads, financial difficulties, health concerns, the accumulated effects of aging, maybe the loss of a friend or family member through death. Sometimes a spouse can be discouraged for an extended period of time that affects even our own relationship. A rebellious child or a difficult child can be a weight that's hard to carry. Loneliness, the lack of a personal friendship with a like-minded person or people. And then sometimes our own personal confidence is eroded through circumstances. We perhaps accumulate a number of personal missteps or misjudgments and begin to wonder if we're using poor judgment too often. Fear of failure, a sense of inadequacy, or perhaps the habitual failure to overcome temptation and sin. A few years ago, I was having a conversation with a couple of special people that I love over at BJ, and Dr. and Mrs. Phil Smith. And in some ways, Dr. Smith in these upper years has been almost like a dad to me. And I remember his wife just bluntly said, she says, everyone has problems. And so it's the way it is. And we live in a sinful world. We have a sinful nature. We create some of our own problems, or other people create some of the problems that we have. And all of this, to me, creates a situation in which we have a thirst for renewal, refreshing, a reinvigorating of our own walk with the Lord. Some verses that talk about renewal in a general way. Isaiah 40:31, familiar, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, 31. In Psalm 103, we have that great uplifting passage about, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives our iniquity, heals our diseases, redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies." And it says, "Who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." In Ephesians chapter 4, we read just the simple expression, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind," to just be renewed. And so we're actually under in a sense a command to seek after this type of renewal that I'm going to speak about. What does it mean from a dictionary standpoint to renew? There's a series of things that I think enhance the concept a little bit. It means to make new or to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection. To make new spiritually or to regenerate. To restore to existence or to revive. To make extensive changes in, to rebuild. To do again or repeat. To begin again or resume. Or to replace or to replenish, such as like water in a tank. And so there are a number of places in the New Testament. For the sake of time, I won't give you the references, but I've got five or six references here in front of me that talk about how believers refresh one another. Paul makes almost passing allusion to these in some of his epistles about how, and so when we come together on the Lord's Day, here we are in almost a spring-like winter day, with the sun out following some pretty rough weather last night. And it's almost, the weather itself is almost an illustration of what I'm talking about. It's kind of, unless you're a peach farmer, it's refreshing to be a peach farmer. The blossoms come out too soon if this kind of thing continues and creates a real problem for them. But how refreshing it is this morning to see the clear daylight and the clear sky after a stormy night. Well, let me just hit some scriptural points with you on this topic this morning, and let's challenge our hearts a little bit with the time that we have here. I'd like to make this first point this morning, that the Christian life actually begins with renewal. The Christian life begins with the renewal of conversion. And we have in front of us Titus chapter 3. Let's back up. Let's start at verse 3, if we could. Titus 3:3 is one of those passages that describes us in our unregenerate state. "For we ourselves," I think Paul's including himself there, "were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." That is a very rough description of the possession that sin has on an unregenerate person. Maybe you work with people like this. They just are full of themselves and full of sinful outlook. But note verse 4. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know, salvation involves a number of wonderful concepts. It involves the release from the penalty of sin. It involves forgiveness or remission. It involves redemption. God buys us back from that slave market of sin. It involves reconciliation, where hostilities have ceased and God is no longer our enemy, but we're in his family. We get a right standing, or the very righteousness of Jesus Christ put down to our account. This is part of salvation. But also what takes place is renewal. Or maybe the fancier theological word would be regeneration. Both words mentioned right here in verse 5. The washing, the cleansing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Our daughter Karis had been witnessing to a person she knew, and she and her husband, Karis is our youngest. She's 30, 29. That's some of you that have known us a long time. You remember Karis, all right? And her friend, I believe, texted her in the last week or so, and she said, "I don't know what's happened, but I now believe." That sounds like regeneration to me, okay? On January 12th, 1960, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Today is my 60th spiritual birthday. Our pastor, his name is Jack Spratt back in the day. Jack Spratt. This is his picture. Okay? And William Henry Lee Spratt went by Jack. He and his wife, Edna, took my parents, Mac and Jeanette McAllister, and my brother and me into their care as a pastor and his wife. He would preach the gospel. He preached as a pleading pastor. He said, "Don't put it off. Don't put it off," after he would preach the gospel. And even though I was just a wee tiny little boy, I understood the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. And I wanted to be saved. And after some insistence on my part, he agreed to talk with me. Not that he wasn't willing, but that, you know, I was so small. They wanted to be sure I knew what I was doing. And he took me out on some church errands in his 1957 Brown Studebaker. And after the errands were done, he parked a car on Church Street in Decatur, Alabama, across from the Alabama Farmers Co-op, big operation. And right there in the front seat of his car, he explained the gospel. And he led me in a sinner's prayer. And I was born again. And you know, it takes a miracle from God every time someone comes to Christ. It's a miracle that God takes a dead sinner, be he young or old, and transforms him and puts within him new life. And I would say to anybody here today who's not yet experienced the new birth, you need to repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you need to ask God to change your heart. And the Bible says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You have no basis upon which to doubt he will save you if you ask him to save you. I like the gospel song that says, "Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now." So the Christian life begins with the renewal of conversion. Jesus said you must be born again. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Peter preaching on Solomon's portico with Peter and John just having healed a lame man, and people were astounded. And he took the opportunity to preach Christ to them. And he said this to them. He said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the Spirit of the Lord." The last phrase escapes me here a little bit. But that times of refreshing would come from, I think it says, the presence of the Lord. There's more to that eschatologically, you know, in terms of last times and all that's implied in that verse. But there's something that takes place presently when we repent and are genuinely converted. I like the word conversion, by the way. That's a good word, okay? That means you turn. That means God turns you. That means you have new life, new desires, a new master, a new destiny, a new ministry, a new outlook. All things become new. So the Christian life begins with the renewal of conversion. Secondly, the Christian life is sustained by the renewal of cleansing. It is sustained by the renewal of cleansing. In Colossians chapter 3, and the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 4 and 5, Paul, having well established sound doctrine in the early chapters of each of those books, turns his attention toward believers and their conduct. And in both of those passages, he actually lists a fairly long list of sins. We're going to look a little bit more at that in the morning service on the Ephesians 4 and 5 side of things. Okay. So he's well establishing that because they have now put their faith in Christ, they are in Christ and have very many benefits. We have many benefits by being in Christ. But we all know, if we're honest with ourselves, that there still resides within us the latent, residual effects of sin in the soul. And so, you know, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, there's something different about sinning when you're a believer. I like the old adage that says, sinners leap into sin and love it, saints lapse into sin and loathe it or hate it. You really can't sin and get away with it. I don't think you can ever get away with sin ultimately, but God puts a new nature in you and you really can't enjoy it, certainly not very long before the Spirit of God is convicting. So there's a struggle. There's a struggle. And what Paul is saying in Colossians 3, for example, he says mortify or put to death these sins he enumerates. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he lists a number of things and he says, put these off and put on these and to replace them with. So sin is the culprit, our sin, our giving in to our propensity, through our weakness, through our being self-centered. And those sins can be defiling and damaging and tend to make that old life come back. And what we have to do if we're going to be victorious in the Christian life is we have to regularly seek the cleansing that actually sustains the Christian life. The Christian life is sustained by the renewal of cleansing. Hear these verses from the New Testament and Old Testament that deal with our need for cleansing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And again, I think Paul, at his level of Christian experience, nevertheless includes himself. In other words, we have to take responsibility to keep our hearts right with God. It's not the preacher. It's not somebody checking on us ultimately, though it's good to have some accountability and friends that will encourage us or correct us as needed. But we have to deal with our sins. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4 is a great passage to flee to if you just feel like you need somebody to take a 2x4 and just say, get with it, boy. Get with it, lady. Let's get our lives in line. James 4 is a great passage. Now here's David, of course, in that great penitential psalm. In Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And here's our word, renew a right spirit within me. Boy, when we mess around with sin, there's something about it that messes up our inner being, our spirit, our soul. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And you well know John, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So cleansing clears out the sins in our heart. It's really sin that is at the root and heart and the dominating influence, I believe, that makes us old, if you will, makes us in need of renewal. And it cleansing opens our heart then to God's grace and gives us the power to go forward. We really need daily cleansing. We probably need cleansing even hourly or quite frequently, even during the day. So when there's a sin that you've stumbled and fallen over, just when convicted, confess and ask God to renew your spirit and your soul. And then finally this morning, in closing, the Christian life is advanced by the renewal of consecration. The Christian life is advanced by the renewal of consecration. And if you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, please, and we'll see our key word there again. And there's way so much that could be said in this context here of Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the, here's our word, renewal of your mind, that you may, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's a very good translation of those two verses, and as I understand the verses. These two verses, like probably none other in the New Testament, call for a total consecration of our entire being to the Lord. Our body, our mind, our spirit. These are transitional verses from the great doctrinal section of Romans 1 through 11. The last verse of 11, chapter 11, verse 36 says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I think those verses are saying that God is the source and the means and the end of all things. And it is to him that is to be all glory. And then in light of all that God has done for us, then we are to voluntarily and willingly give our entire being to the Lord. And I break it down like this. Consecration, dedication involves the presentation of our bodies, the separation of our lives or not being conformed to this world, and then the transformation of our mind. Presentation, separation, transformation. And notice, please, that the agency of transformation is renewal. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be in our moral and spiritual character like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a big topic in and of itself. So that is the goal. For whom he did foreknow them, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is working all things together, Romans 8, 28, 29, toward that end, that we would be like Christ. And so we have to get on board with that. And the way we get on board is by continually renewing our minds so that we would be, metamorphosis is the underlying word, we would be transformed. Gradually, progressively, and then ultimately when he comes again, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what I'm suggesting to us is that it takes effort on our part. We must be willing to give God our entire being and let him have full control. And when we do that and we're seeking after him, then he transforms us. Let's just walk through that chapter real quickly, and then I'll be done here in Sunday school this morning. In context, what do we need renewed? We need in verse 3 a renewal of our self-assessment. The problem generally is we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And he's saying, don't do that. In other words, have a realistic view of yourself. And he's really transitioning into how we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord, our reasonable service, our spiritual worship. That's the right translation. As priests before God, now all believers serving the Lord, we are to be sober and realistic in an assessment of our own gifts, not thinking ourselves more highly, but thinking accurately, and then serving the Lord, not excusing ourselves by an inferiority type approach to self-assessment, but being realistic. And God can help us with that, and other people can help us with that. And then we are to be renewed in our service, verses 4 through 8. He talks there about the exercise of 7 key gifts in the body of Christ. There are other gifts, but we are to be serving the Lord. And I'd ask you at the start of this new year, are you actively using your giftedness in the body of Christ for God's glory and the help of others? We are to renew our character. I am a list guy, all right? I like lists. I work from the list. I'll have a list on my desk probably tomorrow morning when I still use a paper day timer, if you can believe that. Some of you guys have everything tied up on the internet and everybody can know your business. I've just got it on a piece of paper. It's just, I like it that way. I get a little bit on the electronic schedule. That's okay if you do that. You're probably way better at it than I would be. But I like lists, okay? And my wife sometimes will tease me about my list. You know, when we were newly married, I was really working from lists back then in a big way. I'd walk through a doorway. She said, you mark that off your list, you know, just, you know, so I like lists. And Romans 12 is a big, nice, clear list that just says, live like this and don't live like this. And I like it. We are to have genuine love. We are to have a clear hatred for evil and a love for right in verse 9. We are to have a kind disposition with brotherly love, showing honor. Do you have that kind of attitude? We are to be zealous, fervent, serving the Lord. We are to be rejoicing in hope. Are you an optimistic person? Are we patient people in tribulation? Are we constant in prayer? Are we giving to needs, showing hospitality, blessing our persecutors, weeping with others and showing empathy? Are we like-minded, verse 16, lowly-minded, verse 16, not wise in our own conceits, verse 16, not returning evil, verse 17, having open honesty, peaceable living, grace, God-graced restraint when we're in conflict, and do we overcome evil with good? These are the marks of the consecrated life. The renewed life. And it's a nice checklist to go through and say, hey, where are we? You know, our lives are like a construction zone on an ongoing basis. Don't you love road construction? Okay. I've been going around Spartanburg now for it seems like several years because of construction. It's just part of it. Atlanta will never be without construction, road construction, you know. When we all go to heaven, it'll be right there through Atlanta, either Atlanta Airport or one of the interstates there, they say, if you live in the South, you know. I hope the roads are clear on that day, okay? Well, one of my best memories of Atlanta was they told everybody to avoid Atlanta on the Olympics, right? Remember that, okay? And so I was going to Alabama during that time, and so I thought, do I go to Knoxville and Nashville and come over? Or how am I going to do this? And at the last minute, I said, Phooey, I'm going to go through Atlanta. And they had shut the roads down because President Clinton was coming through. But they hadn't shut them down yet. And it was the best time through Atlanta that I ever had. I went straight through Atlanta like that. So that little comment just reminded me of those days. So. All right, the Christian life begins with a renewal of conversion. The Christian life is sustained by the renewal of cleansing, and the Christian life is advanced by the renewal of consecration. So let us be wholly dedicated to the Lord. Let us be clean before the Lord. And let us be sure that we are in Christ and that we have this new life that is so wonderful to be a part of. Lord, we thank you this morning for the simple truths of your word. We thank you for the miracle of regeneration and for the gracious gift that you have given to us of eternal life. Not anything that we could ever work for and earn or glory in because of what we've done, but because of what you have done and what you have done alone. Help us to live out this new life, Lord, and use this day to the end that we might be renewed and refreshed. We pray in Jesus' name.